الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us such a beautiful opportunity of being present in the house of Allah ta'ala on the day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, this is a great favor of Allah ta'ala, for which we thank Him for, and we simultaneously make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. It must be a day that we are looking forward to the whole week. Whole week we are looking forward to this day of Jumu'ah. It must be made into a special day, not an ordinary day, because this day of Jumu'ah is a great day. It is Sayyidul Ayyam. It is the leader of all the days of the week. So this day we must make it extra special, cook an extra special dish. If we have to give spending, Mullah Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would say, that if you have to give spending to your children, also give it to them on this day. Make this day a special day, a great day, so that you look upon this day as something great. And finally, we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He allows us, or He allows it, and makes it such that the last day of our earthly life is this day of Jumu'ah. So this topic that I'm speaking on today is the link between eating halal, eating good food, and the spiritual self. There is a link between what we eat and the physical body. Many of us know that. Therefore, when we speak about eating, we speak about eating wholesome things. A person eats healthily, then his body also is healthy. The expression, you are what you eat. What you eat is what your body is, how your body reacts. And accordingly, we know that when a person eats, then his physical body is affected by what he eats. The blood is affected, the limbs are affected, the organs are affected by what a person eats, what a person consumes. But there's another angle to what we eat, and this is the spiritual angle to what we eat. That when we eat things, it can have an effect on our spiritual side. So there's one level. One level is the consumption of our food and drink, and the effect that it has on our physical side. There's another angle, the effect that it has on our spiritual side. There's another dimension, the third dimension, is the source of income to purchase that food and item has an effect on the spiritual side. For example, I purchase a banana, or I purchase an apple, and a bottle of water. Everyone will agree this is wholesome, everyone will agree it's healthy. If I tell someone for lunch I'm having an apple and a glass of water, no one will disagree with me it's unhealthy. But the source of funds that I used to purchase that bottle of water and to purchase that apple were sources that were doubtful, sources that were haram. Now, even though that is wholesome in itself, the effect that it has on the spiritual side is there. Very often we can't see the spiritual side, so we assume that so long as that food that we are eating is healthy, everything is good. This is the dimension which I wish to touch upon, is the source of income that we're purchasing our food. Yes, it is very important, the food and the drink that we're purchasing must be halal, must be pure, must be wholesome. That is very, very important. So when we go to a supermarket and we pick up an item, we look to see through the ingredients that everything is halal. A person is satisfied. If a person is traveling and happens to stop at a place, he needs to purchase food from a restaurant. Although this is not something that we should encourage, but he's traveling, he doesn't have any other place. He inquires to see, are the owners Muslim? He's satisfied, he gets a few references that this is halal. Then he purchases. That is important because we're purchasing and we're consuming halal. But how often do we ask ourselves, the source of funds to purchase that, what is the halal status of that? Do we ever consider that? So this is something which is very important. And when we're purchasing also, it's not only restricted to food and drink. Very often we're purchasing medication and we're not even sure. The other day I asked one pharmacist friend, I said, the certain tablet that you supplied to me, it's a capsule. Is the capsule made of gelatin or not? He said, you know, I never ever thought about that. So this is something that we need to consider, that what we are consuming, it has a direct, this is ayat of the Quran which I've read, Allah Ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, kulu minat tayyibati, that consume pure things, and immediately thereafter Allah says, wa'malu saliha, and do good actions. Ulama explained there's a direct link between doing good actions and what you consume. Your income, your food, etc., has a direct effect on you doing actions, good actions. In other words, if your income is not correct, if the food that you are taking is not correct, the actions also that thereafter emanate from that body also won't be correct. So anyway, understanding that there's a link between our source of income and of our food that we eat. Just something on a light-hearted, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullahi, would give this example. You say when you go to Saudi Arabia, you'll see there's a drink that they sell there. The name of the drink is called Shani. Now it's a drink that generally the older people like, the younger people don't like it. It's a cool drink. The name of it is called Shani. It's like a tropical flavored cool drink. So he explains, he says if you drink that Shani in the right amount, in the right quantity, then you'll enjoy it. But if a person with diabetes, if he drinks too much of the Shani, he says, what will happen? He says it will cause Pareshani. Person will now suddenly go into a Pareshani mode. It will create in him a lot of turbulence, a lot of worry, a lot of concern, because he drank too much. So this we understand as far as the physical consumption is concerned. What about that income that we are earning? How careful are we to see that that doesn't affect our spiritual side, which affects our actions, which affects our outcome, and ultimately affects our iman? So just to go through some examples of the sources of income that you have and how, things that we need to be considered about. Every person, if he applies his mind, he'll understand that there are many, many different sources of income that a person has. He needs to see each and every person needs to think that what is my source of income and how careful am I to ensure that this income is right, so that what I'm eating is halal. It's not only what comes onto my table, what I get from my Muslim butcher shop. That's not everything. The source of income to purchase that is a very important aspect as far as halal is concerned. So example, a person is working for an employer. He's an employee and he's getting paid for his time. Now, why is he getting paid for his time? This is a common abuse today by Muslims, non-Muslims. Nearly every employer has the same complaint, the cell phone usage. How often people are sitting on their phone? They're getting paid for the time. The employer may not be knowing what they're up to, but they're using the phone, they're chatting on groups, they're talking to friends, they're reading this post and that post. We are getting paid for that time and we're abusing that time. Ask ourselves, that money we're getting paid for that time, is that money halal or not? Is that money doubtful or not? We're getting paid for our time. Something that we all need to consider. Another thing is, a person, for example, is an employee. Now he's doing private work. He's doing his own private work in the employer's time. And what's happening is he's getting paid for that. Ask ourselves, is that money, is it halal? Is it good for us to be consuming such money? The next thing is, a person, for example, is a delivery man. He's in charge of delivery. He's taking that same company vehicle and he's using it for his own errands. Or sometimes that delivery may take him half an hour. Another half an hour he's gone to Checkers and he's doing his own purchases. So what's happening, he's getting paid for that time. He's getting paid to use that vehicle, but he's abusing that vehicle, he's abusing that time. Is that right for us to be taking that type of money? So here a person also has to be careful. So these are just some of the things that we have to be considerate of, is when we are employees, the time, the job description, are we fulfilling it? A person is an employer, a person is a businessman, he got to look to see in my business what I'm selling. And sometimes because of the trends of the West, we feel we have to also do what they are doing. For example, a person has got a big supermarket and he's got so many items that are purely halal, they are good items that he's selling, and he's making a lot of money by selling those items. But he sees that all other supermarkets, just by the cashier, they got a whole list of magazines. Men's magazine, ladies' magazine, this bulletin and that bulletin. Now he feels, I also have to sell all these magazines to keep up with the Joneses. Now what he's doing, that income that he's getting is so beautifully halal, he's spoiling it with all these type of magazines. Or sometimes the products we are selling, for example, a person may be selling appliances. Now he says, you know what, everyone is selling televisions. Let me also sell televisions. Let me also sell these type of appliances that others are selling, where there's absolutely no need. Remember, when a person does halal for the sake of Allah, Allah won't shortchange that person. Allah will never shortchange. In fact, Allah will give him more barakat. And barakat is such a thing that causes long life. The money that a person gets when he passes away, that forms part of his estate. That estate also, money will remain there, that barakat will remain for generations to come, because the man was careful of halal and haram. Allah will make that money last. Otherwise, he can make millions by doing haram, selling haram, earning haram. But very shortly, that money will all be lost. Sometimes he sees it all lost in his lifetime. Sometimes he sees it lost after he passes away. Sometimes you find a person, he's a broker. All he's doing is selling different types of insurances, different type of schemes he's selling. and his income is doubtful. All type of things he's selling, that halal, haram, different things a person is selling. What happens to the broker at the end? Generally, you ask those accountants that have been in practice for many years. They'll tell you the end result of this person is he becomes broke. That's the end result. Look at every broker, you'll see this is the end result. Or he may have made money, but that money doesn't last. That money comes and that money goes. So therefore, we got to see what we are selling, the products that we are purchasing and selling in our businesses. Those products also must be halal. Person sometimes is a waiter in a haram restaurant. He thinks that only thing I'm doing is I'm taking the food to people. I'm delivering the food. Sometimes it's wine. Sometimes the person is working as in an airline and he has to serve wine also. Then we have to ask ourselves, is this the correct thing that I'm doing? Therefore, we mustn't be shy. Recently, there was one musalli of ours. Allah Ta'ala grant him barakat. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for him. 27 years he was working in a bank, and recently he resigned. From a manager position, he resigned. He said, I never felt right. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi, that time told me that leave the bank. Don't work in the bank. Allah Ta'ala, find something else. Allah Ta'ala will give you barakat. He says, now I find so much of peace. I find so much of sukun. After 27 years, it's not difficult. If we are involved in things that are doubtful and haram, the easiest thing for us to do is turn to halal and don't doubt Allah Ta'ala. Don't test Allah Ta'ala, but trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next thing we got to look at is look at our investments. That what are our investments? What we are investing our money in? And as I mentioned many times before, that the most common thing that is becoming now is investing in banks. People see it as a very secure investment. Let us be very careful. Something that was always known, this was the riba industry. This was the riba markas of the world. And it is still the riba markas of the world. How can we put our money into this type of industries? Inshallah, that's a topic on our own. We'll speak about that on another time. But just moving on, sometimes you find a person becomes a professional photographer. I met somebody recently. He's a professional photographer. His job now is just to do photography. Something that was so serious, something that is so serious. On one occasion, this hadith is mentioned both in Muslim Sharif, also mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam promised him that I'm going to meet you. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was waiting for Jibreel alayhi salam to come. He had not come, it perturbed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It worried Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I had a commitment from Jibreel alayhi salam. What's stopping him from coming? He was worried. He came out of the home. Jibreel alayhi salam came. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam asked him what happened. So on this occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam mentioned, لا تدخلوا الملائكة بيتا فيه كلب ولا سورة. The malaika don't come in a home where there is a dog there or there is a picture there. How often we take lightly that this picture, this photography, this is something that is light, is not something that is serious. There was a doctor, he mentions his incident. He says that I had a relative, he was a patient of mine, that he was severely ill with cancer. So he explains that he was in his last stages. He says, but we had administered him with the highest form of painkillers. He was on morphine and other painkillers. But yet he was still very, very restless. So he said, I contacted Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi. He was alive at that time. He says, I contacted him. I told him that I got this relative of mine. I'm treating him, but yet he's very restless. So Maulana came to the house. When he came to the house, he looked at him and he walked out of the house. So the doctor came, followed Maulana. Maulana says, you know what? I think that somewhere in this house is a picture. So go and check properly. So he goes into that room again. He looks. He comes out. He says, Maulana, I can't see anything. Maulana says, go and look properly. To my mind, I feel that there's some picture that is here that is stopping the malaika of rahmat from coming at this moment. What hadith we did now? That the malaika don't enter a home where there is a picture. So the doctor goes back into the house and he looks carefully and he sees in one corner of the room there was a magazine that had a picture disclosed. He took that thing and he pushed it into one cupboard. He covered it up. Thereafter he explains very shortly, this person went into a deep sleep and in that condition calmly and coolly he passed away. What was the means? One picture, something that we take so lightly, something that we take today as something unnecessary. Why are you even talking about pictures? Why are you even talking about photography? Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi, has written one article and I urge every brother to try and read it. Go to the website yunuspatel.co.za and search for photography and picture making. And in this he explains something. And the reason why I'm mentioning this, it's becoming so common. So he explains the comparison between a eruption of a volcano and photography. He says when a volcano erupts, it spews out lava, it spews out rocks, it spews out ash, and it spews out gas. He says this is what it spews out. And photography, what does it spew out? He says it spews out immorality, it spews out immodesty, and it spews out a host of evils. He says, after reading many, many emails of people, I come to the conclusion that the root cause was getting involved in photography. This led them on to pornography. This led them on to so many different sins. But what started it? This photography. He says, therefore, Islam cuts out this photography from the root. He cuts it out to such an extent that any form of photography is forbidden in Islam. And then he quotes his Sheikh, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayhi, who mentions that he said that Sahaba had such love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We can't imagine the love that they had for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But they never ever drew a picture of Rasulullah Sallallahu. If they had drawn that picture today, we could have at least seen a picture of the face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They didn't do it. But we want to put our face in front of every type of selfie, in front of every type of picture. What are we thinking we are doing? Recently I went for Umrah, and from Makkatul Mukarramah then went to Madinatul Munawwara. So I was going to give salam. Via Babu Salam, a person goes, one of the etiquettes, you have your head lowered down and you go to give salam. So that's how I was going with the head lowered. But to my surprise, as I'm moving, I can see that everyone is lifting up their hands. Everyone is lifting up their hands. So I was just looked up a little bit to see what's happening. Because istilam, people know that when you're making tawaf of the Kaaba, when you come past Al-Hajrul Aswad, then you make istilam. You lift up your hands and then you make takbir. The istilam is actually you read in the takbir, the dua that a person should be reading. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And a person moves and he goes around. So yeah, I was a little bit surprised that we never saw this in Medina. We saw that in Makkah where people raised their hands. Yeah, why is every person raising their hands? When I lift up my head, I got a shock of my life. I'm not exaggerating. Every second, third person had a cell phone in his hand. Selfie and going to make salam to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have actually smashed, we have torn, we have desecrated a great amal of going to the qabr of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I was shocked, I couldn't believe it. That Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam himself mentioned, Inna ashadda an-nasi adhaban yawm al-qiyamati al-musawwirun, that the person that will get the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah is that person that is involved in picture making, photography. And here it's done wholesale, without exaggeration, per square meter, that must be now the largest area in the world where selfies are taken. In front of the qabr of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is left? If every person is taking a selfie, sometimes a person is going doing tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif. Instead of focusing on the tawaf, everyone has got his cell phone up there. What are you looking at? The clock tower. The clock tower has now become the focus. Kaaba Sharif is no longer the focus. I'm not saying this to try and pick on anyone, but just for us to understand what Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Alayhi was saying, that this leads to the destruction of a person's spiritual life. This, and it is the basic cause. So anyway, as I was going, I finished the salam. So that guard, you get a guard that is there, known as that police, that Islamic police that have the hay'ah, the police guard that they have, they're standing in front of the qabr of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I just told him that what are you doing about this tasweer? You're supposed to be in charge of Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. So he grabbed my hand in front of the qabr of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And these were his words. After seeing what they seeing, this was his words. He says, Wallahi, At-taswiru fitnatun ammatun wa tammatun. He says, I take an oath in Allah that this photography is a fitna that is am and is tam. Am means that is widespread. Tam means it's complete. Complete, like how we say, you know, sometimes you say from a matchstick of to a toothpick, means complete service. A person is in a building industry, he says, I'm a turnkey specialist. That I do everything, only thing you need to do is turn the key and enter your house. I'll build, I'll do everything for you. That this is a complete fitna. It's affecting so much. To such an extent now, when a person goes to Jannatul Baqi to make ziyarat of the Qubur there, the guards have also realized that this is out of control. They're actually hitting the hands of the people and taking away the phones. People are now even going to the Qabristan and taking photographs. Is that a place to remember death, or is that a place to take out photographs? Allah Ta'ala reward our ulama in this country that they put a closure to it. Otherwise in our Jummah, in our masjids, we'll be having people doing selfies. In our masjids, in our Eidgahs, in our Marakis, in our Ijtimas, this would be a common thing. But they have stopped it, and they're not stopping it from themselves. There are many, many ahadith. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has brought a whole page full, two pages full in Bukhari Sharif, speaking about the effects of photography. Allah Ta'ala reward us. This was just by the way I mentioned that when a person's income is from this, then we can imagine what the situation is. Just to finish off, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, how careful he was about his income. On one occasion, his slave had come and presented to him and told him that I have something for you to eat. And he was very hungry at that time. So he had taken one bite, one morsel. And then that slave tells him, but you didn't ask me what was the source of my income, what was the source of this item that I brought to you. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq then asked him, what was the source? He said, you see, in Jahiliyat, at that time, I was a fortune teller. And one person was owing me money. I was a fortune teller. Not only was he a fortune teller, he was that type of fortune teller that was, he didn't know what he was doing. He was a shooter. You know, you get somebody who's a shooter, there was something light-hearted. There was an imam, this is how he would operate. That he would tell people that he was good in fortune telling. So many people would come to him, especially people that were giving birth. So one person came, he said, my wife is giving birth, I need to know what child. So he said, larka na larki. Larka na larki. Boy, no girl. So that person got very happy, his boy is coming. So like how everybody does today, it's a boy, they start purchasing blue items, purchasing everything, he started getting everything ready. When the baby was born, it was a girl. So now he came back and he said, hey, what happened here? You told us. He said, I told you, larka na, larki. I told you, boy no, girl. So he changed that thing around. He just stopped the pause. Boy no, girl. You never understand what I told you. So anyway, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had somebody like that. So he was doing his things and somebody was owing him money. So he was hungry. He took one morsel. And then what had happened was, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was so perturbed that I took something that is doubtful. He tried very hard to take it out, but because his stomach was empty, it was not coming out. He was told the only way you're going to take it out is you take a lot of water. Drink a lot of water and then you take it out. So he drank a lot of water and then he took it out and he spewed it out. So what another person asked him, that why you took such an effort to take out one morsel? Why did you take such an effort? Look at the reply of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala reward him and give us the tawfiq of following. He said, my life could have gone, no problem. But I don't want to take one morsel of anything that is doubtful. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. When a person has this in his life, there's so much benefit, there's so much of good that comes out. There's a direct link between what we consume, our income and our actions. If we want our actions to last and to take us through into akhirah, to take us through the qabr, take us through into jannat, we not only have to be careful of what we eat, we also have to be careful of the source of income that supplies and purchases that food. Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.